Blessed be the one holy and living God. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things both in heaven and on earth. Mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time grant us your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains. And let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you endure foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you, and what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened with Shaban of Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with a calf a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Has he told you, O mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the first letter to the Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Greeks and Jews, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted by various disease and pains, people possessed by demons or having epilepsy or afflicted with paralysis, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. These lines appear in the Gospel of Matthew just before the passage that we've heard this morning. This is the context of the Sermon on the Mount, the powerful mission statement that Jesus gives at the beginning of his public ministry. Now, I don't know exactly what great crowds looked like in first century Palestine, but whether this was hundreds or maybe even thousands of people, it's vitally important to understand what kind of people were following Jesus. The people with whom Jesus had a special connection. It was the sick and afflicted, people possessed by demons and oppressed by sorrow, poverty, and disease. Bright, shiny people, the well-off and the respectable, may have been there too, but they were not the center of things. For once, those usually marginalized were being centered. Their concerns and their reality took root in the heart of Jesus, guiding everything he did and said. Keeping in mind this context for today's gospel passage helps put the Beatitudes in a clearer light as we grapple with what they might mean for us today. They are not platitudes. They're not feel-good sayings that are spoken out of ignorance of the harsher realities of life. They are not a prescription for being happy or even for right living. They are simply not a formula we can follow. Instead, they are a description, of how God sees the world. And they are spoken to and for and among the oppressed, the people whom theologian Howard Thurman called those with their backs against the wall. When Jesus looks down on the ragtag crowds who have been following him, he does not see them as the world sees them. He sees them unmistakably as blessed. He sees their inner worth, regardless of their outward appearance. And he wants us to see one another in the same way. These are people and circumstances that most of us are taught implicitly and explicitly to avoid, to stay away from. Who wants to be in mourning? Who wants to be poor in spirit, or worse yet, reviled and persecuted? Nobody. And yet, what Jesus is saying is that the more energy and effort we expend avoiding these outcomes, the less we will have to pursue the things that really matter: justice, peace, and most of all, restoring relationship among ourselves, our neighbors, and God. Pastor and writer Steve Garnes Holmes explains how central the Beatitudes are to the very message of the gospel, writing, "The spirituality of the Beatitudes is one of radical trust in grace. In what society generally views as unwelcome circumstances, God is present, offering abundant, life-giving grace. Out of emptiness, God brings abundance. Out of mourning, joy. It's the spirituality of resurrection. This profound trust is the opposite of and the antidote to our sin, our inability to trust God. Jesus names those places we're afraid to name and says, God is there. In poverty, in brokenness, in vulnerability, need, and persecution, God is present, offering blessing." All of this is a complete reversal of how the world as we know it works. Speaking for myself, white, middle-class, educated people are taught to do everything in our power to avoid poverty, brokenness, vulnerability, and persecution. We justify all sorts of harmful and selfish behavior because, after all, the world is a pretty rough place. And if we want to keep our heads above water, what else can we do? I've even known people who claim and believe they are chasing the security of wealth and status because it will allow them to be of more service to others. And that's nice, I guess, but it's not anything that Jesus would have recognized as building up the realm of God. The Beatitudes embrace an upside-down worldview that is echoed by Paul in his letter to the Corinthians when he says, "God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are." Most of us are happy to applaud this worldview from a distance, recognizing the virtue of it, so long as we ourselves are not asked to do things that might make us appear or be weak, foolish, or despised. Imagine if our political systems operated on the principles espoused by Jesus and Saint Paul. What would it look like if we sought out those whom the world considers weak, foolish, and lowly before we made any important policy decisions? What would our country look like if we placed a higher value on the well-being of children, of the uninsured, of immigrants and refugees, of those without the proper paperwork, than we do on the wealth of corporations, the comfort of the powerful, and the whims of tyrants. It would look like the kingdom of God. It would look like the realm of grace. It would look like the flourishing of the beloved community. This weekend, more than 150 bishops in the Episcopal Church, including our own Bishop Megan Traquair, released a statement about the recent traumatic and shameful events in Minneapolis, including the killings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy. It's a brave statement, brave enough to name what is happening as state-sanctioned violence and to call for specific outcomes, namely the immediate suspension of ICE and Border Patrol operations in Minnesota and in any community where enforcement has eroded public trust. It concludes with these lines: safety built on fear is an illusion. True safety comes when we replace fear with compassion, violence with justice, and unchecked power with accountability. That's the vision our faith calls us to live out, and the promise our country is meant to uphold. In the face of fear, we choose hope. By the grace of God, may this season of grief become a season of renewal. May courage rise from lament and love take root in every heart. The bishops tell us that safety built on fear is an illusion. And in doing so, they echo the Beatitudes, the core teachings of Jesus, the upside-down worldview that reminds us that those who are most vulnerable are never far from the heart of God. Courage that rises from lament, renewal from grief. This is how the gospel works. This is how those who are usually excluded, avoided, and forgotten become those who belong, are welcomed, known, and loved. I can imagine Jesus on the streets of Minneapolis and can almost hear him saying, "Blessed are you who place yourself in harm's way, for your God will shield and guide you. Blessed are you who speak truth to power, for the God of truth will hear your cries. Blessed are you who know that peace may come at a cost, for God will remember your courage and hold you close. Blessed are you who see all people as God's beloved children, for you will see God and live. Blessed are you who work to overturn systems of oppression, for you will find rest. Blessed are you who seek to follow God's will, for you will be satisfied." Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and the world.
Lord Jesus, you said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Keep us from being preoccupied by wealth, security, and achievement, and from trying to increase them at the expense of justice. Help the church be a place of servant leadership and sacrificial love. Lord of all blessings, Lord Jesus, you said, "Blessed are the meek." Help us to be gentle with ourselves and with one another, and to work to end the discord and violence that exists in the world around us. Lord of all blessings, Lord Jesus, you said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice." Make us thirst for you, the fountain of all holiness, and work toward dismantling systems of oppression without counting the cost. Lord of all blessings, Lord Jesus, you said, "Blessed are the merciful." Grant that we may be quick to forgive and slow to condemn. We pray that leaders in our government will be guided by mercy and compassion, and will embrace policies that respect the dignity of every human being. Lord of all blessings, Lord Jesus, you said, "Blessed are those who mourn." We pray for all who have died. We pray for the repose of the soul of Alex Preti, for all individuals who have died at the hands of ICE in 2025-26, and for all who mourn. May our grief at the state of the world lead us to work for change. Lord of all blessings, Lord Jesus, you said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." We give you thanks for our many blessings, and especially for those people who serve as gracious reminders of your love. Our family, friends, and members of this community of faith, as well as those around the world who are working for peace and justice. Lord of all blessings,
gracious God, though we are poor in spirit, we are rich in your grace. Make us pure in heart, ready to see you in every moment. Send us into the world as your humble, gentle peacemakers, prepared to mourn with those who struggle, to endure persecution for the sake of the good news, and to rejoice at the coming of your kingdom. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we humbly confess that we sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. If anyone has a celebration or milestone that they know they want to share with us this morning, I encourage you to come forward so you can be at the microphone. And meanwhile, I'll just point out a few things that are happening in the coming days. We have a lot on our yellow sheet. Of course, we also have more, so you can look online too. And I hope you're all getting our weekly e-news that we send out on Fridays. We also, last week, got our magazine out, Reflections. I hope you have looked at it. It's available online, but we have a bunch of hard copies. So if it's something you would like to take home, maybe to share with someone else, be sure to grab one on your way out. And then mostly today, what I want to make sure you know is happening is this afternoon is the Celebration of Abraham. This is an annual event in the Davis community. It's been going on for a number of years. And this Sunday, today, it's at 3 p.m. at the Woodland Mosque and Islamic Center. And everyone is welcome. There's no charge to participate. If you do go online to register so that they have a head count, that's helpful. They also note in their online announcement that they ask for modest dress in respect of the way the people are at the mosque. And so, of course, I encourage that for all of us. I also want to mention that in a couple of weeks, we're having pancake breakfast. If you can believe it, 2 weeks is our last Sunday before Lent begins. So we're calling that Shrove Sunday. And I hope you see all the information and hear about that. Lots of other things coming up, including the Ash Wednesday services and other Lent offerings are going to be out next week, as information about that is all pretty much sorted out, but we wanted to put it all in one place. There are many, many service opportunities and ways to get involved that are listed here. You'll see that there are links to the letters that came out last week from Bishop Megan and from our presiding bishop, Sean Rowe. The letter that I quoted in today's sermon just came out yesterday, so we don't have a link to that yet, but we'll get that to you. This week is also when there are several things going on, like there's a YOLO Indivisible Visibility event on Wednesday and an ICE training, which is online, and it's called Eyes on ICE, and I signed up for that. So lots happening here. Celebrations and milestones. Michael, I think you had one. Do you want to? We didn't get any via email, except Michael reached out to me.
Good morning. A couple months ago, I met with Reverend Pamela and told her about two individuals in my life and asked the community to pray for them. The first individual, Curtis, had been suffering from lung cancer. And a week and a half ago, I got a message. Actually, he called me and said, met with the doctor. The doctor said, it's pretty much gone. And he was very grateful for that. The second individual is a very dear friend of mine, almost like my brother. His name is Tim. He had been suffering from an inoperable brain tumor about the size of a golf ball, and his days were limited. Earlier this week on Wednesday, he sent me a text and said he had just come back from the neurologist who said the tumor in his brain had shrunk. And now his prognosis is not just days, but a year and many more. And this came a couple days before his birthday. So I thank you for the community praying for him and ask you to continue to pray, because I believe the power of prayer is what's making these changes in these two individuals' lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. That's such good news. Yes, yesterday was Michael's birthday. Oh, well, something else to celebrate. Tim in back is one of our ushers, and he's holding on to bags because we have goodie bags, welcome bags, that we hand out to anybody who is new or visiting. There are, as I always say, no strings attached, but there is chocolate inside. So raise your hand, please, if you would like a goodie bag, and we're happy to hand those out. It's also another way to get a copy of our Reflections magazines. Did anyone, Nancy? Okay, so you have two birthdays coming up this week that you're celebrating. Wonderful. Diane and then, oh, or Libba.
Mark's birthday was on Wednesday.
Mark's birthday just happened on Wednesday. Wonderful. Am I missing anybody else? Okay, Diane. Your birthday? Oh, okay, we missed it, but happy birthday. Next Thursday. Sorry, I thought you were pointing backwards, but you're pointing forwards. I have to reverse myself. All right, so if you turn to page 5 in our celebration, we have our celebrations and milestones prayer on page 5 in our bulletins, and this we say together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Michael's reminder about the power of prayer was also a reminder to me. Somebody mentioned the other day that they knew about how we have a Compline service on Friday nights online, but they didn't realize it actually happens pretty much every weeknight. It doesn't happen on Saturday or Sundays. Monday through Friday, there's a Compline service online. The link is on our website. So if you're looking for a small gathering of committed prayers, that is always available to you. And of course, we have Wednesday morning prayer here. That's live, that's not online. And so I just wanted to remind you of those opportunities. We have communion around the altar rail. You come up to the side where you are seated, and an usher will let you know when it's time to get around the altar rail. You can stand or kneel. We have vegan and gluten-free communion bread. That is one kind of communion bread, which is both vegan and gluten-free. You can keep it in your hand once it's handed to you, and that means the person coming around with the chalice of wine will intinct it for you and give it back to you, or you can consume it when it's handed to you, and then the chalice will come around with wine, or you can cross your arms, indicating you'd like just a blessing. All are welcome to come forward to the table. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and good and joyful to give you thanks, all holy God, source of light and fountain of mercy. You have filled us and all creation with your blessing and fed us with your constant love. You have redeemed us in Jesus Christ and knit us into one body. Through your Spirit, you replenish us and call us to fullness of life. Therefore, joining with angels and archangels and with the faithful of every generation, we lift our voices with all creation as we sing. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of the universe and giver of life. You formed us in your own image and called us to dwell in your infinite love. You gave the world into our care, that we might be faithful stewards and show forth your bountiful grace. But we failed to honor your image in one another and in ourselves. We would not see your goodness in the world around us. And so we violated your creation, abused one another, and rejected your love. Yet you never ceased to care for us and prepared the way of salvation for all people. Through Abraham and Sarah, you called us into covenant with you. You delivered us from slavery, sustained us in the wilderness, and raised up prophets to renew your promise of salvation. Then, in the fullness of time, you sent your eternal word, made mortal flesh in Jesus. Born into the human family and dwelling among us, he revealed your glory. Giving himself freely to death on the cross, he triumphed over evil, opening the way of freedom and life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Remembering his death and resurrection, we now present to you from your creation this bread and this wine. By your Holy Spirit, may they be for us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who share these gifts may be filled with the Holy Spirit and live as Christ's body in the world. Bring us into the everlasting heritage of your daughters and sons, that with Blessed Martin and all your saints, past, present, and yet to come, we may praise your name forever and ever. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen. And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Joni and Bob, we send you forth bearing these holy gifts that those whom you visit will share in Christ's body and blood.
We who are many are one body,
because we all share one bread, one cup. Amen. Our prayers go with you.
Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Christ, be a bright flame before you, a guiding star above you, a kindly shepherd behind you, and a supporting strength beneath you. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.